Hello and welcome to another episode of Pinot and Perfume. As always, I am your host, Sarah Chacon, and back at it another week. I'm going to start off this episode by blowing up my husband's spot. I'm talking low so he doesn't know because he's in the other room. But if you remember, I mean, I already blew it up on Savoir Shade, which is my other podcast. It is done with my friend Jenna Broughton. It is an Emily in Paris recap. So if you like that show, definitely check that out on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, hot plug. But anyway, in an episode many moons ago, I forget which one, I mentioned that my husband loves The Devil Wears Prada. Now, unironically, really loves that show, that movie. After I recorded that episode, we actually watched The Devil Wears Prada. He had no idea I talked about it. He just really wanted to watch it. Big love. He was explaining to me why it was a great movie. I saw his point. Really big love. Very surprising, though. I would never have pegged him for a Devil Wears Prada type guy. Well, today I found out that he not only has big love for Mariah Carey, but also has big love for All I Want for Christmas Is You. Like, to the point to where he knew before I did that I guess she refilmed her, did an updated music video for that song. And I had never seen the original. So we watched the updated version and then we watched the original. And he was like, yeah, the original's in a home movie format, a home video format. But this one is super updated. She's really kind of phoning it in on the dance moves while she's making the other dancers sweat. And I was like, well, and she was like, the premise of the updated version is a girl is Christmas shot, walking down Snowy Boulevard with her parents, as one is wont to do over the holidays. And I guess they're window shopping. And in the window of this one store is Mariah Carey. I think she is supposed to be a mannequin, but it's Mariah Carey, and she's flanked by two mannequin nutcrackers. And so, of course, with a little pixie dust, she comes to life and she sings a song for this girl. So, but there are scenes with nutcracker dancers, and they're really doing the kicks. They're doing the twirls. They're really putting in with the dance moves. And Mariah Carey's just half-heartedly moving her hands. I mean, kind of phoning it in, but at this point in her career, she doesn't have to work that hard on a music video anymore. You know what I mean? She can phone it in on a music video and the song will still be popping and people would still watch the music video because it's Mariah Carey. I mean, they'll watch her do anything, I feel like, including myself. So yeah, but he found out that she had an updated music video for that song. I didn't know. So then I found out, because as we're watching these music videos, there are ads plugged in for her Christmas special. So she's got a Christmas special with Ariana Grande, Jennifer Hudson, a bunch of other assholes, and it's on Apple TV Plus. So I was like, tonight, we're going to watch that Christmas special. And he's like, all right, sounds good to me. So that's what we got planned for tonight. I got my fancy new manicure, and I use the term fancy loosely because these are press on nails from Kiss. But again, I went over this in Savoir Shade. But I've been painting my nails, been pretty good about painting them consistently, but I wanted something different and I didn't want to have the full commitment of acrylics, because then you get into that cycle where you got to get them filled and then they're kind of expensive depending on where you get them. And I was like, I don't want to do any of that. I just want to get some press-on nails. So if you have not tried the Kiss brand of press-on nails, highly recommend. Those suckers stay put. Just today, I have given the dogs a bath. We have two dogs. Both got a bath today. Doing laundry. Popped open a can of White Claw, which is also what I'm drinking while I'm recording. It's the natural lime flavor. Popped open that can. Popped open a can of dog food just now for, obviously, my dog Ava. And both stayed put. They're not loose. I mean, those things are, the adhesive is so good on these. So they're $5.99 at Target. If you want to be bougie and get the gel couture, which they claim looks like a gel manicure, looks and feels, and I guess is durable like a gel manicure, those are $10. So if you really want to splurge, You can get those, but these ones I got were like $5.99 at Target. Very high quality. They don't look cheap. In my stories, I have a picture of them. Also tagged Kiss Products because maybe they'll be a sponsor of both podcasts. Kiss, we gave you a really good recommendation. Anyway, highly recommend for the holidays if you want to just do something fun. If you want to just do something, mix up your nail routine, but you're like me, either you're too cheap or maybe where you're at is in a stage of lockdown and you can't just go and get a manicure right now, but you want to mix it up and your nails don't want to look nice. Highly recommend Kiss Press-On Nails. No, they are not a sponsor. I'm just an enthusiastic consumer and I love to play dress up like I'm a little kid. And with that, let's get into scent of the week. I'm getting my friggin' segments mixed up. Scent of the week right now. Okay, so scent of the week. God damn it. Scent of the week. Lord, give me strength. All right, the scent of the week this week is Scandale by Jean-Paul Gaultier. Now, I am working off of a sample that I got from FragranceNet when I bought one of the myriad other perfumes that I own. I forget which one, but I did buy this. I think it was like $1.99 or something, super cheap. Because I've been wanting to try it. Like, I have LaBelle, and I love LaBelle. And so I think Scandale, I would argue that's probably like this line's most famous perfume. So I had to try it. I've watched YouTube reviews on it, and it's always described as being a honey bomb. Super, super sweet. And I would agree. So if you remember my first impression that I posted on Instagram, because I do that at actually the request of my friend Anne, she was like, post more reviews on Instagram. And I was like, I don't want to take away from the podcast, but maybe I should do a first impression. So that's what I've been doing. Probably didn't need that whole explanation. Anyway, my first impression, I was taken aback by this fragrance because it was sweet, but to me, it smelled very similar to Girl of Now by Elie Saab, which I had reviewed on this podcast. Except Elie Saab's sweetness is balanced against nuts. I think it's got pistachio and almond in it, whereas Scandale's is balanced against patchouli. So the notes in this, Jean-Paul Gaultier, like this line is one of the ones that they don't advertise all the notes. They just advertise, I think, like the main notes. Some perfumers do that. It is kind of maddening, but I guess if you're like the average consumer and you don't care what notes are in it, it just smells good. You know, that's probably why they just go over advertised notes. They just give you a taste to see if you like it. I guess like the more prominent notes they list, but the fragrance pyramid is in your top notes. You got gardenia and blood orange. The middle is honey and the base is patchouli. On me, I don't really smell the florals. I've been wearing this all day. I don't know if I can even smell it anymore. I mean, I think the florals, especially the blood orange, because that's a very sweet note as well. And I think the florals are kind of combining with the honey to just create that super sweetness that you smell. Like, I can't differentiate between the honey and the gardenia and the blood orange. To me, it just smells sweet. To me, I just smell sweet against patchouli. And I'm kind of on the fence. Like, this perfume did kind of grow on me because I am not a big patchouli lover. I know I have perfumes with patchouli in them, but patchouli needs to be more of a background player. You know, if this was a Broadway musical, patchouli needs to be like man number one. You know, it can't have a starring role. It can't be part of a duet. It can't be up front and center. It's just got to be in the background because my skin will pick that shit up. I first learned this really hard with Angel from Terry Mugler. It's the wonderful, delightful gourmand notes, which that also had honey. And I would say that honey smells more like honey than this honey in Scandale. anyway. But all of like the chocolate and the honey and like the delightful gourmand notes and angel lasted all of like 15 minutes on me. And then it was just patchouli, and that's all I could smell. So my skin will pick up patchouli so easily. And when I started wearing it, like giving it the good wear test this week, I was kind of put off because when I first spray it on, the sweetness and the patchouli, it almost kind of gets like a sour smell on my skin. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I can deal with this. Once it dries down, it gets better. And it does. It is a little sexy. I mean, I can still smell the patchouli. It is balanced by the sweet. So there's that. It's not like Angel where the sweet wears off so quickly. Like I think on me, the sweet wears all day and it slowly dries down. And after a while, you know, both patchouli and sweet notes kind of start fading away as perfume does over time. So that's kind of a good thing. And after, you know, a few days of wearing it, the patchouli didn't seem as sour to me as it did upon the first initial spray. Me. And I came to actually like this perfume. I do think it's sexy. The description of it on my little sample card reads as follows: a honey chipre. Or maybe it's a sheep. I think that's pronounced chipre. Chipre. Yeah. Anyway, during the day, it's a delicious fresh honey with the wonderful scent of gardenia and blood orange. At night, it's a sensual and scandalous honey combined with patchouli, an addiction that's just so Jean-Paul Gaultier. So that's how they describe it, is like kind of a naughty nice type of perfume if you're a naughty nice girl. To me, I think this is a very super sexy perfume. And it almost is kind of like a naughty perfume. Like, I think if you wear this perfume like on a date, I think you're advertising that you're down for Pound Town afterwards. You know what I mean? Like, not to slut shame or anything. Don't read into it. But that's what it sounds like to me. Like, this is not a put together, demure young lady. Like, if you wear this out and you're going out, you want to score some dick. That's what this perfume says to me. It's almost like kind of dirty, not like a dirty patchouli like an angel, but just kind of just like an overall dirty scent, but like in a good way. It's just almost, to me, it almost borders on obscene. Like, it's weird to give these characteristics to it, but that's just the image that it conjures, is like it's a super naughty perfume, almost obscene, but not quite. You know, like it's just towing that line. This is not something you would wear. I mean, technically you can wear perfume wherever you want to wear it, but you know, what this says to me is I would not want to wear this to like church, because, you know, like, or to like meet your boyfriend's parents for the first time, stuff like that. Like, this is more of like a hot date night where you're looking to score afterwards, or, you know, you're just going out in the town and you want to bring somebody home. Like, that is what this perfume is to me. It is sexy, but in a super naughty way. And I like it. I mean, I do like it. Now, would I buy a bottle? Which, side note, the bottle is super, super cute. And all the Scandal bottles look like this. That's like a domed bottle with like legs akimbo coming up out of the top, like a woman's falling backwards and her legs are like up, like just flying in the air. That's what this bottle looks like. So even the bottle's a little bit like kind of sexy in that way. I don't think at this time I will purchase a bottle. A, because I'm back on my fragrance no buy. I'm running out of room on my vanity, to be completely honest. I want to enjoy what I have and get through some stuff. But B, to me, it does smell too much like Girl of Now, except Girl of Now is sweeter, but not necessarily literally sweeter, like in the scent. It's more of like, it's not a naughty perfume. Like, it's like I would say they're two sides of the same coin. Girl of Now is the sweet side, you know, and then Scandal is the, you know, let me phrase this another way. Girl of Now is lady in the streets. Scandal is freak in the sheets. That's how I would describe them. So to me, it's still very similar to Girl of Now. You do have that sweetness. There are subtle differences, but not enough for me to want to buy a bottle of Scandal. Now, once I get done with Girl and Now, will I buy a bottle of Scandal? Maybe. I mean, it might be worth it. And I think what's causing that naughtiness is the patchouli. I think that's what the patchouli is. Like, unlike Angel, I think the way this is blended, it is blended very nicely, and it has that nice balance of dirtier patchouli with the honey. So side note there. I mean, but yeah, I think once I'm done with Girl of Now, I probably would get Scandal just to mix it up. And I just love that bottle. It's just so fun. But not right now. I just don't think it's going to be in my collection right this minute, but maybe a future purchase. So how much does this bad boy cost? Well, you can buy it on FragranceNet. That's what I would recommend. That's where I buy the majority of my perfumes. Unless I, like with the Bon Bon Couture, I bought it off of the Ulta website because it was on sale and I had some stacked gift cards. So, and I got it for a better deal than I would on FragranceNet. But there are several options. You can get the Eau de Parfum by itself, and that comes in one size. It's a 1.7 ounce for $79.99. There is a current promotion where you can get 37% off, bringing the price down to $50.39 if you sign up for the coupon. Highly recommend, even if you've already signed up, like if you entered your email address or give them your phone number, you can do it again and get the deal. It'll say you're, like, if you enter your phone number, it'll say you're already subscribed, but it'll still add the coupon to your cart. So pro tip there. So $50 with a coupon. There's also a gift set, which obviously everybody's pushing their gift sets right now with the holidays. You get the Eau de Parfum spray, which is 2.7 ounces. So bigger than just getting the Eau de Parfum by itself. 2.7 ounce Eau de Parfum spray plus a 2.5 ounce body lotion. And that is $117.99. With the coupon, it's $74.33. So I used to get gift sets and I have stopped, not because it's not a good deal, it is, but just because the low, like when I hit my 30s, like I've always had sensitive skin, but when I hit my 30s, my skin really started walling out. So I don't use any sort of like scented lotions or bath gels on my skin because it'll just start freaking it out, break out in eczema hives, whatever. So I pretty much stick to my unscented Cetaphil body lotion. I top it on my shins with the CeraVe Eczema Milky Body Oil because my shins, for whatever reason, they get dry super quickly. So I do those. And then I just stick with my good old Olay body wash because it is moisturizing. So I don't really do the lotions. Now, I guess I probably could get a gift set and then give my sister the lotion because I don't think that her skin is as sensitive as mine. I just don't. I mean, I just buy the perfume by itself. But in this case, if I were to buy this perfume, I would go ahead and get the gift set because, you know, the perfume by itself is 1.7 ounce and that's $50 with the coupon. For like $20 more, you get a 2.7 ounce you know, perfume and, you know, you get a body lotion. So it is actually a really good deal. So this would be one that I would get. And then I would just gift my sister the body lotion. If you buy from Jean-Paul Gaultier's website, what are they selling it? Let's see. You know what? Allow it to know my location. You can buy it online. Oh, they do have like Fragrance Direct, the Fragrance Shop. Oh, I thought you could buy it straight off the website. You cannot. So what if you can buy it from Boots. These are all, I think, UK stores. And I think Boots is a drugstore, kind of like similar to CVS. But that's £48.50 for the 30 milliliter. I don't know what that is in dollars. You'll have to convert that. It's still not a bad price, though. What's the perfume shop? What are they selling that bad boy for? 30 mil, £41.99. I still feel like that's pretty good deal. So you can't buy it directly from the website. This is using the location for London. What about Orlando? Let me find it. Oh, it's all London. Orlando, Florida. Nope. But anyway, you can play around on the website if you wanted it to buy full retail. But again, why would you when you have when you can do it from fragrancenet.com and it's still and it's legit. So as tar in terms of longevity and projection, I think it's going to project pretty good. Kind of the same as Labelle, actually. Projection lasts, I'd say, about a good hour, maybe hour and a half. And then the longevity, it lasts pretty much all day. It will definitely get you through a work day. And then if you opted to go out afterwards, I think you would still be good. It would just be a matter of your personal preference if you wanted to refresh it and like bring back that projection or that scent bubble, if you know what I mean. So, I mean, I feel like just based on my experience from the two perfumes I've smelled, I feel like Jean Paul Gaultier perfumes are pretty good on like projection and longevity. Like they seem to be kind of powerhouse perfumes, and you will de the people will definitely smell you if that's your jam, you know, depending on how hard you go with the sprays. So definitely if that's something that is important to you, I definitely think these nail it, you know, Scandal nails it. If you wear perfume by like time of day or season, I would say this is a night perfume. Absolutely. And seasonality, I don't know. I feel like you could probably wear it year round. Maybe not in the summertime, because I feel like if it's super hot out, this is very sweet. So it could be cloying when it's hot out. So maybe not summer, but I feel like every other, if you live in a region that has seasons, unlike me, I feel like you could wear it whenever. What else? I think I hit on everything. I will say if you do not like sweet perfumes, you need to stay away from this. You need to walk away. Put the bottle down, take it out of your cart online, like do it. I know you're thinking, is it worth a blind buy? If you do not like sweet fragrances, it is not worth a blind buy. It is so super sweet. It is not subtle. This is a perfume that will wear you if you let it. Like you really got to own it, and you really have to just be the type of person who just likes sweet, loud fragrances and be able to wear it with confidence and pull it off. I'm telling you, if you are not into sweet, don't even consider it. Don't even consider it. You will be so sad. Or if you are going to consider it, find a sample. Find a sample because don't spend money, even on fragrance set, even on these good deals. Don't spend money if you're like, I've heard good things. I'm not big into sweets. Just don't do it. Just buy a sample. Promise it. This is so sweet. I love sweet scents. So I think, like I said, once I'm done with Girl Now, excuse me, I may pick up a bottle. Who knows? That's my only hang up, is that it just smells too similar like Girl Now, which weirdly enough, nobody mentions on the YouTube reviews. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm weird. Maybe my nose is trash. It probably is. But it just smells similar to Girl Now for me. But yeah, if you do not like sweet fragrances, 100%, don't even entertain the idea of this perfume because you're going to hate it. But if you do like sweet fragrances and you like Jean Paul Gaultier and you like patchouli and you like honey, I mean, whoa, shit. I'm like whipping her. I put the empty sample vial back in my sample card. I'm like whipping the shit around because I talk with my hands and it just like flew out. But if you like patchouli, you like Jean Paul Gaultier, you like sweet scents, you don't mind a louder fragrance, then I mean, definitely try Scandale. I think you would really like it. Or if you like Guerlain Now, I think you would also like Scandale because to me, again, they smell very similar. What do you think though? Let me know in the comments. No, just kidding. This is not a YouTube video. No, let me know on my Instagram post because I always post, you know, when the new episode is live. So let me know what you think on Instagram. I'm very curious if I'm the only one that thinks it smells like Girl of Now because to me, that was like my first thought. So let me know if you like Scandal and if you've tried any of the other flankers, because I know there's like a ton. So, yeah, that was scent of the week, Scandal. All right. Fragrance in the news. There wasn't a lot that was like a regurgitation of everything, but I found a couple of stories. I think one is super interesting, so we'll start with that. This is from Harper's Bazaar, and this is called How to Wear Fragrance. Oh, come the fuck. Why? I'm going to go off on a tangent. These magazine websites are terrible. Like, they have so many damn ads and pop-ups that it's hard to make it to have it scroll. Like, you can't scroll it, like, sticks. Okay, anyway. So it's called How to Wear Fragrance Like Meghan and Kate. And it's the ins and outs of royal fragrance etiquette, which that's a little bit of the story. That's kind of the misnomer of the lead, but I thought it was interesting because obviously it has come out that when you are a member of the royal family, there is a bunch of rules that you got to follow. Everything from, how to eat, I'm sure how to stand, how to walk, and even what your beauty rituals are, like how to go about them. So apparently, like Kate and Meghan, on their own time, they can wear whatever fragrance they want. Nobody cares. But if they're on official royal business, then they can't wear any perfume because, as this article mentions, perfume is a very personal preference. And while you might like a perfume, somebody you're interacting with might not. So just on the safe side, they're required not to wear any fragrance when they're doing activities in an official royal capacity. But it goes into what they do like to wear when they're off the clock, so to speak. And they go into what they wore on their wedding days, which I thought was super interesting. And I always like to know what people like to wear. I'm just nosy like that. So on Kate, on her wedding day, she was wearing White Gardenia Petals by Aluminum, which is a British perfumer. I have heard of them before, but I have never tried any of their perfumes. But apparently, this is a niche perfume, and it was put on the map by her. And of course, it became like a bestseller because, I mean, who doesn't want to smell like a duchess and now probably a princess? I mean, I think she's still a duchess, but she is married to a prince, so wouldn't that make her a princess? I don't know how it works. But anyway, this has notes of coconut, ylang ylang, jasmine, and lily of the valley. And in the base, you've got amber wood. Apparently, it's a very light scent. And it sounds like a good scent to wear on your wedding day. Like, I don't think you'd want to wear something like Scandal on your wedding day because that's not the image you want to convey. But she also likes Jo Malone London. Don't understand. I mean, I don't want to shit on Jo Malone London. I think it's very nice. I think they're also very overpriced for how long they last, which is not long. And really, the only two, I guess I'm speaking too soon, because really the only two scents I have had experience with were, I think, Wild Bluebell. And that was okay, but it didn't like knock my socks off. I think I actually ended up giving that to my sister. I had a deluxe sample from Sephora. I think I ended up giving that to my sister. And then I smelled Oud and Velvet Rose. And that one smelled pretty good. But again, I don't think I liked it enough to actually buy it. But that's a side note. She likes Jo Malone London, and that's what this article's about. So apparently at Westminster Abbey, when she got married, she chose to scent it with candles from Jo Malone London and in the orange blossom, grapefruit, and lime, basil, and mandarin scents. In her everyday life, she also loves Jo Malone London's orange blossom, and that's got notes of clementine flower, white lilac, water lily, and orris wood. And this bitch loves Jo Malone. She also wears grapefruit and lime, basil, and mandarin. So apparently she just got the candles and the scents that she really likes and that she wears day to day. So it goes on to say that people who have bumped into Kate when she's out shopping has said that she smells amazing, like raspberry and fruit. And that she likes fragrance, clearly. So Megan, on the other hand, Megan likes a little bit more bolder scents, but they're still not like they're still not crazy bold, but a little bit bolder than Kate, it seems like. So when she got married to Prince Harry, she wore a custom-made perfume by Florist London. Apparently, they're Queen Elizabeth's perfumers. So this bitch went in hot, and she was like, "I'm marrying a prince. I gotta smell like it. I like her style. I would do the same if I had that opportunity. So it was made with sea breeze, sunshine, and water in mind, and it was inspired by their Bergamotto di Positano perfume that has notes of bergamot, orange blossom, ginger, and green tea. However, this custom-made one that was made for Megan, they don't say what those notes are, so we're only going to get what it was inspired by. And they mentioned like this was made specifically with Megan and her body chemistry in mind, so you can't find like a dupe for it. They don't sell this one. This was completely 100% custom made for Megan, which I think is so cool. Again, if I were in that position, I 100%. What was Kate doing wearing a niche perfume? Not bad. I'm sure it's great. But why didn't, if she likes fragrance and she had access to florists and florists was like, yo, and I'm sure that she got so many opportunities. Like I'm sure perfumers were coming out of the woodworks wanting to do a custom made. Why didn't she take them up on their opportunity? Like that's a once in a lifetime opportunity, I think. So I don't know. She really missed the mark there, but Megan knows what's up. She was like, yes, yes, I'm getting a custom made scent. Come at me. So she also used, so when she scented the St. George's Chapel on her wedding day, she uses diptyque candles because she loves them. And see, these are where these girls are so much more posh than I am, because if I had to scent the chapel, first of all, I didn't know that was a thing, so I probably wouldn't. But if I did, I probably would use like Bath and Body Works teakwood and mahogany, or like whatever candle was available at the time, like during at the season of which I got married. Super basic, but like, and it's probably like shouldn't even be allowed past the threshold or even on the same grounds as that chapel. It really, I feel like it's really like cheapens the whole atmosphere, but I love them. So I probably would have been like, yeah, teakwood and mahogany. I love it. So good. But yeah, I feel like that probably would have been vetoed. Something tells me, I feel like the queen probably would have been like, aim higher. You're going to be a member. You're going to be a royal now. Aim higher. So yeah, so in her everyday life, Megan, alternates through a few scents. So she wears a little bit, well, Kate does too. They're all Jo Malone, but, she likes Oribe's Côte d'Azur Eau de Parfum. Fun fact, I had that roll on. I like it enough, but not, it was not what I like other perfumes in my collection better. So I gave that to my husband. So my husband smells like Meghan Markle because he loves it. It's very clean. If you've ever used Orbe hair products, I don't because I'm not rich like that. But it smells like their hair products. They made a perfume that smells like their hair products because there was demand for it. So it smells very clean. It doesn't immediately give off shampoo vibes. Now that I know that that's what it was based on, I'm like, okay, yeah, I can tell that. But it didn't give that off at first. It was just a very clean, fresh scent. And then she alternates. She likes Jo Malone too. She alternates through wood sage and sea salt, wild bluebell, and that's it. Okay. So they go into the notes. So Oribe's scent has keynotes of Calabrian bergamot, jasmine, and sandalwood. And then she likes those other Jo Malones. Now at night, she wears Bulgari BLV2 that has notes of violet, mandarin, orange, star anise, licorice, iris absolute, patchouli blossom, vetiver, benzoin, ambergris, cistus rock rose, and musks. So that one sounds like it packs a punch. I'm interested to smell that. That one sounds like that's a little bit more of the daring. That's where she departs from Kate and a little bit more of a daring scent. And then she also likes Dr. Bronner's body wash in both lavender and almond alternating between them. Which, has anybody ever noticed the insane shit on the Dr. Bronner's label? Like, it's like some weird religion cult type of shit. Like, it's in, I have not read all of it because it's like super tiny, small, and it's like one run-on sentence. But if you go to like a cult website, so Heaven's Gate comes to mind because I think their website's actually still up. It's like from 1997, clearly, because that's when everything went down. So nobody else around to update it. That was a bad joke. But it's like, it's just like a bunch of walls of like random run-on sentences, insane shits of text. That's what it looks like on this label, like a 1997 website from a cult. I digress. So they go into other members of the royal family. So the queen herself wore White Rose by Floris London. And then day to day, she wears Guerlain Leher Blue, which I've never worn, but I'm sure I would like because it is a Guerlain fragrance and I really like that house. Diana wore Quelques Flores by Houbigant Paris, probably Houbigant Paris, and that has notes of orange blossom, rose, and lily of the valley. And in everyday life, Diana was known to wear Penhaligon's Bluebell, which is a floral fresh fragrance. Sophie wore Romance by Ralph Lauren. So Sophie's the only one that's kind of like bringing it down to like a level that's relatable. Well, I mean, Jo Malone, commoners wear Jo Malone. I mean, commoners wear all of these. Like the fragrance groups I'm in on Facebook and Reddit, and then the myriad of YouTube reviewers I watch, like they've all, you know I've seen them talk about Guerlain Leher Blue and then Penhaligon's and Jo Malone. But I feel like Romance is like, it's, you know, it's like your standard typical designer brand because everything else is a little bit more going to be either niche or like very high end. So Romance is like the super more affordable, you can get that shit anywhere fragrance. And I think that's, I don't remember what I wore on my wedding day. And I know that's sad, but I think that's what I wore out of my collection. Cause I think I still had it at the time. I've since went gone through it. Well, it went off, but I only had like a little left. So I was almost done anyway, but I believe I wore Romance too. So me and Sophie are on the same level. Now, how to apply fragrance like a royal. This is where I was surprised because I'm already doing all these things. I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back and to brag, but I am. I mean, it's a humble brag. Actually, no, it's an overt brag because I am not a sophisticated person. I'm wearing press-on nails. I'm drinking White Claw. My living room is scented like fresh balsam from Bath & Body Works. And I'm wearing some leggings and an oversized sweater that I found on Amazon. So super basic to the core. So I was pleasantly surprised I'm actually doing something like a posh royal girl does. Because these girls have to go through, like, I think that's part of their etiquette lessons. Or like how to do their nails, how to apply their fragrance. So I'm already doing all these things. Go me. This is my win for 2020. So the tips are spray your perfume on your pulse points. Never on fabric or clothing. Again, we've gone over this ad nauseum. But spraying on pulse points. Pulse points are the warmest parts of your body, so that's where your fragrance is going to project when you spray it. Once you spray the fragrance on your skin, don't rub it in. That breaks it down. Put your fragrance on before getting dressed. It's never sprayed on clothing or fabrics as it could damage the fabrics. And that's me. After I get out of the shower, I shower in the mornings. Before I put on clothes, this is probably TMI, but I don't care. I spray my fragrance and let it dry down. And that's partly because, not to really damage the fabrics or anything, but if, you know, unless I'm sweating profusely, like if I wear a shirt and it's clean and I wear it, I'll rewear it. Like, I don't know if that, does that make me a dirty bitch? I don't know. Like I said, unless it's like got overt stains on it, or like if it's during the summer and I'm sweating, you know, then I'll wear it once and I'll wash it. But other than that, if it's perfectly fine, I'll rewear it like another time, maybe two, if I can really stretch it out, like whatever. So I don't want, since I do that, I don't want it to smell like old perfume. So that's why I started putting my fragrance on before I get dressed. And apparently that's what Kate and Megan are taught to do as well. So bully for us. My throat had a tickle and I had to take a sip of water. That's why I did not finish my sentence. That was why there was that awkward pause. So anyway, I thought that was like kind of a really cool rundown of royal perfumes. So the next one is from Couverture.com. And it says shop the, oh, it's official. These are the top 10 fragrances of 2020. I don't know by who. I don't know if this is probably just some beauty editor probably just rated this. Let's see. Yeah, I think, yeah, I this is not based on sales. This is just like this is what we think the top ones are. So anyway, on the list you've got the new company, which is there. I never heard of this brand before, but this fragrance is called Forest Lungs. It is $95 and it's got notes of wood, smoke, and citrus. And it's this is one of those bougie niche perfumes that try and like make it sound like what it is. So, something more than what it is. So we all know fragrance can impact your mood. And this one has been touted as a sensory supplement, which aren't they all sensory supplements? Let's think about this, okay? So this one's been shown to reduce your stress by 96% after 30 minutes of wear, as well as boost feelings of calm by 92%. Again, I still think that's any fragrance. If you love a fragrance, then and you spray it on, then yeah, it'll reduce your stress and then you'll probably it'll calm you down a little bit. So I don't think that's just unique to this fragrance. I think it's a marketing gimmick, but that's why marketing works, you know? People will buy it. I have fallen for tricks many a time, and I'm in marketing. So what does that tell you? Okay, so then they have Chanel Chance Crayons de Parfum for $80. So it's a solid perfume. It's travel friendly. It's looks like a giant chunky crayon. I'm not about solid perfumes or crayons. Like I do have a couple of travel sprays, basically because I didn't want to pay full price for the full bottle. They were very expensive. One was Jazz Club by Maison Margiela, and the other one was Love Don't Be Shy by Killian. And so those are both. They're pricey, you know, the full bottle. So I didn't want to shell out the money. But other than that, like, I don't want to apply. I always talk about I hate the dabber bottles that samples have because I don't want to apply fragrance with my fingers. And you have to wash it off. I just don't want to go through all that. And I don't know. I just don't like the look of the crayons. That's just, I feel like if I'm going to get a perfume, I'm going to get a bottle or at the very least a purse sprayer. So yeah, if you're not familiar with the Chance line, they tend to be I guess the quote unquote younger fragrances from Chanel. They're fruity, floral, and fresh. So I remember when I was in my 20s, I was really disappointed overall at Chanel perfumes because I really wanted to smell Chanel number 5. It smelled very old lady to me. I think I also wasn't, even though a lot of younger women wear Coco Mademoiselle, it still didn't like speak to me. It still doesn't, but I did like Chance. Now, I think this was like I don't know if there were any other Chance lines. I think there was just the one. So I guess the original. And I really liked that, but it was still kind of out of my price range. And I was like, when I can get the money, I'm going to buy it. I never did. And now I'm just like, I'm kind of leaning more towards like Coco Mademoiselle and stuff a little bit. Like it still doesn't speak to me, but you know, I'm kind of leaning towards those other, fragrances in the line that I didn't really lean toward in my younger days. So anyway, next up we've got Josh Rosebrook in Floria, which is $150. And apparently this is Josh Rosebrook is all about clean beauty. I'm gonna go ahead and say, I guess like that's his whole line. That's what it is. It's clean beauty. So if that's your game, listen up. So you got notes are, so it's got floral notes against an amber base. You've got jasmine, citrus blossom, and bergamot. And apparently the name is based on enfleurage, which is an 18th century technique used to extract the aromatic compounds from the flowers using plant oils, which is a technique favored by the French. So it's very bougie. Up next, you got DS and Durga Crystal Pistol for $260. This they say that it can be worn alone, or you can be layer either be worn by itself or be layered with something else. It's got orange flower blossom water, crystalline flower parts, white and white musks. So they say this is a minimalist scent. Next up, we've got Maison Francis Kurkdjian La Homme à la Rose Eau de Parfum for $275. They describe it as what they imagine walking through a rose garden in the south of France would smell like during summertime. So you've got rose, musk, and citrus. So after that, we've got Byredo Le Fleur Eau de Parfum for $180. This is got Damascena rose and then tangerine and white saffron and amber. After that, we've got Ellis Brooklyn Iso Gamma Super Eau de Parfum for $100. It's formulated via green chemistry. It's got a synthetic note that they say they've never smelled before. It's got a smooth, woody finish that works well alone, or again, you can layer with another scent. You've got vetiver and cedarwood and ambergris. And they say it's also a green blend, and it's housed in an environmentally friendly glass bottle with a biodegradable cap. So if that's something that's important to you, check this out. $100 is not bad. I say it's on one of, still expensive. Okay, I don't want to come across as like $100 is nothing, but that's more in line with perfumes that you could get at Ulta or Sephora instead of like, you know, $275 Maison Francis Kurkdjian. That's what I'm saying. All right. Kate and Megan would like this next one. It's Jo Malone London Fig and Lotus Flower Cologne for $142. So this got has fig, obviously. Okay, I was just saying, is it only fig and lotus flower? So they say the fig notes add a fruity deep sweetness, and then you've got lotus flower, and then you've got orange peel from the neroli. Ooh, this is a new one too. So Killian Angels Share. I know a lot of people are getting this scent, so a lot of people must be either rich or have saved up. It's $195. And so this is part of his new one. The bottle is so pretty. It looks like it's a liquor, like a liquor decanter type of thing. Like it's got the faceted glass crystals in it. Really, really classy. So yeah, again, they say that this is a tip of the hat to his, to Killian Hennessy. This is Killian Hennessy's like nod to his eighth generation inheritance of Hennessy, the cognac. He collaborated with French perfumer Benoit Lapuza. It's got cinnamon, praline, and vanilla. And then as you wear it, the scent transforms with lustre, with oak wood, cognac, and tonka bean notes. So a little boozy, a little gourmandy, just like that's what Killian's deal is. Like he's got, he does gourmand damn well. So if you're rich, you know, buy it. Let me know what it's like. Oh, so this is okay. Valentino Voce Viva Eau de Parfum. So this is one of the mainstream designers. Still not cheap. It's $130. This has Lady Gaga as its spokesman or spokeswoman, and they're all singing. And if you've watched the perfume commercial, they're all singing, you know, some song. So it's got notes of orange blossom, Italian bergamot, and crystal moss accord. And they mentioned about Lady Gaga. Oh, and a vanilla dry down. So, ooh, that sounds really pretty. And that's it. As always, links to these will be in the show notes if you want to read them for yourselves. And if you want, because they all link to like where you can buy these fragrances, if something sounds good to you and you want to get it for yourself. And my White Claw and I are done. That brings us to the end of the episode. As always, thank you for listening to my rambles. I appreciate it. If the spirit moves you, like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Leave me a rating, 5 stars if you please. Or even if you don't have a nice thing to say, like Jen and I mentioned this in Savoir Shade, I think any comment helps boost our visibility. So if you want to say that I'm a basic bitch that's tacky with press on nails and you hate this podcast, you know what? Do it. Because any interaction is a good interaction in my book. It's going to make this podcast more visible to new people. I'm also on like Spotify and pretty much anywhere you can listen to podcasts. Again, if you like Emily in Paris, why am I spazzing out? If you like Emily in Paris or maybe like to hate Emily in Paris, listen, be sure to listen to Jenna's and my podcast, Savoir Shade, also on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you listen. It's a fun bag. It's a little bit off the rails. If you are someone that just wants to listen to an episode recap with no bullshit, that's not going to be the show for you because we go off on all kinds of tangents. It takes us like maybe half an hour to even start recapping. And then from there, who knows? Like we touch on things from subjects ranging from Hallmark Christmas movies to press on nails. We went on like a whole thing. This time we had to stop it in the middle because my dog pissed on her bed and I had to take care of that. Like it's a whole off the rails episode. Every episode is off the rails, but it's fun. We have a good time, even if nobody else does. So that should be our tagline. If you want to connect with me online, I'm at Pino and Perfume on Instagram. The and is spelled out. And if you use the Peloton app or have the bike, I'm on there too. I do not have a Peloton bike, but I do use the app with an off-brand bike because a bitch has to be financially responsible. And that is also Pino and Perfume there. So follow me. Maybe I'll follow me. I'll follow you. And we can be Peloton friends. All right, guys, that wraps up this week's episode. I just said that. I'm repeating myself. Anyway, whatever you're doing, I hope you're having fun. I hope you're being safe. Most importantly, I hope you are smelling good. Bye. Pino and Perfume is hosted and produced by yours truly, Sarah Chacon. Theme music is Around the Bend by Evan Schaefer.